This week it's Parshat Noach, which means it's going to start raining very soon. We're going to spend most of the time today, mainly the background and of what led up to the story. We're going to like end before the flood begins. So everything here is before the flood, if that means anything to any of you. Let's just start and let's take a look at the sources. So again, part of the background, Perek Vav, and again, this is one of these cases that the parsha does not start in the beginning of a chapter. So it's one of these cases where our tradition is somewhat different from the tradition of the archbishop who made the chapters. Vehi ki achel adam lerov al pnei adama, uvenot yudu lahem. So the background is going to be one which will be very familiar for those of you who thought that the Me Too movement was something which was of recent vintage. We see that, or perhaps the response is recent vintage, but the problem itself goes far back. V'yu b'nei Elohim, the sons of the powerful, go and see et b'nota Adam, the daughters of man, ki tovotena, for they are very fine. V'ikhulem nashimi kol asher bacharu, and they took for themselves any women that they so chose. V'yomar Hashem, and God says, lo yadun ruchi ba'adam, la'olam bishagam hu basar, v'yu yamav me'av esrim shana, which is one of, it's interesting, but part of the response is that man will now live, the outer limits of life will be 120 years. Okay, we'll come back to that hopefully as we proceed. And if yilim ayu ba'aretz b'maheim, the powerful, the great ones, v'gam acharechen ashe yavo b'nei Elohim el b'naot ha'adam, if this were our concern, we would try to compare what are the Nephilim and what are the B'nai Elohim and how are they connected and what are the B'nota Adam. But we're going to sort of ignore all of that. So again, we have these people who are powerful, these people in position, they take advantage, and so on. Now, however you want to interpret everything that you just now read, and I did take it in a particular sense, what you can't debate is the response of God in Pasuk Hey. Vayar Hashem, and it's also interesting that the name Hashem is Yudke Vovke over here, as opposed to Elohim. Vayar Hashem, ki rabba ra'at ha'adam ba'aretz, he sees the incredible evil that man does on earth. The kol yetzir machshavot libo rak rak kol hayom, and all of man's thoughts, or thoughts of his heart, are only bad all of the time. Of course, for some of us, we're still living in the shade of the Eitz Hadat Tov V'ra, and we wonder about the Ra over here, the evil over here, and to what extent it may be connected. But that's going to be heightened as we continue to the next Pasuk. V'yinachem Hashem, and God, now that's going to be an interesting word to translate, because we are going to get ourselves into trouble unless we claim an extreme example of an anthropomorphism. V'yinachem Hashem, which I could say God comforted, although perhaps you'd prefer to say that God had second thoughts. V'yinachem Hashem ki asat adam ba'aretz, or maybe the emphasis should be ba'aretz, that he made us on earth instead of leaving our souls in heaven. But still, we should say, and God, it sounds like, had second thoughts in terms of the creation of man. V'yitatzev el libo, and that is going to be, I think, a very interesting turn of phrase. V'yitatzev el libo, and there's a sadness in his heart. So over here, we notice the connection between Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav. In Pasuk Hey, it spoke, v'kol yetzimach shavot libo rakra, that man's heart is full of evil. The thoughts in his heart are always evil, and God looks at this and says, v'yitatzev el libo. And God has this sense, again, anthropomorphic sense, of sadness. V'yomer Hashem, God says, Emchet Adam Ashibarati Mi'apne Adama, Mi'adam Vad Beima Ad Remes, V'ad Of Hashemayim, Ki Nichamti Ki Asitim. Over here, it's even stronger, Ki Nichamti, because I regret. So over here, that's, I think, the proper way to translate, and that would take us backwards to the V'yinachem. But what's interesting in both of these words, V'yinachem, and again the Nichamti, is only noted when we get to the next pasuk, Benoach Matzachin b'nei Hashem. And one of the things that we note is that the name Noach is right there in the Nichamti, and the name Noach is right there in the V'yinachem. And of course, when we're left then to ponder, what exactly is the place of Noach and God's feeling, as it were, of regret for having created man, and the sadness which exists over here. Now, if we go to the second source, I'm going to skip the first couple of verses and go a little bit further. We'll go to Pasuk Kavchet. V'yichi Lemech, Shtayim u'shmonim shana ma'at shana. That Lemech lives a relatively long time. And if we want to know exactly how long, Shtayim u'shmonim u'ma'at shana, 182 years, v'yolid ben, and he has a son. Noach, and he calls him Noach. Now again, let's not be fooled. This is Perek Hay, and this immediately precedes what we're reading in Perek Vav. So over here we have man's perspective of what is taking place, while in Perek Vav we're going to have God's perspective of what is taking place. So in man's perspective, we find that he has this son, Noach, and he calls him Noach. Lemor zeyinachmenu mima'asenu. He is going to bring us comfort from our deeds, umi'itzvon yadenu u'min adama asher era Hashem, and from the sadness of our hands, how our hands get sad is interesting. The sadness of our hands on the earth, which has been cursed. Now, the one thing that I do want you to pay attention to is the similarity, or it's the same words. Again, it could be, yes, it does not mean the exact same thing, but it's the repetition of the same words that we find both with the naming of Noach. Again, the elements are this idea of nechama, mima asenu, which is also interesting, because it's not nechama from the past, it's mima asenu, present tense, that may this child change the reality which exists right now, which would seem to be an acknowledgement that the situation in the world right now is one which is unbecoming. May this child, and of course now we can ask, is this person, is Lemech, Noach's father, is he a prophet? Is this clairvoyance, or is this a prayer? And if it is a prayer, then perhaps it gives us some kind of indication about his moral sense in terms of what he believes to be right. Nonetheless, he's saying is that this child will bring us comfort, and that's the yinachmenu, and mima'asenu, from our actions, umi'etzpon yidenu, and from the sadness of our hands, which God has cursed. Now, once you notice all of this, and then you go forward, which is back in source number one, and you see God's response to this, here we have our editorial comment that, no, b'kol yotzer machshavot libo rak ra, v'inachem Hashem ki esat adam, v'yitatzev al libo. And I'll come back to the Etzev in a second, but over here, it's already in both of these sources. May Noach bring us comfort, mima'asenu mimi'utzvun yadenu. And over here we have, v'inachem Hashem, on man, v'yitatzev al libo, and he says he's going to wipe out, and again, the nechama afterwards, v'noach matzachen b'nei Hashem. And Noach turns everything backwards, which of course Noach backwards or inverse is chen, but Noach matzachen b'nei Hashem, which is completely fascinating, because apparently the wishes and the hopes that we find in Lemech when he names his son is God identifies, God responds, but it does not sound as if God's response is one that he had wanted. And when Lemech prays that this one should bring nechama, mima asenu, from our behavior, and mi utzpun yadenu, and again, we're not clear exactly what is the sadness of hands. We do understand the continuation from the earth which has been cursed. So apparently the earth which has been cursed goes all the way back to Adam. And now you can't help when you look at source number three. I told you we're still in the shade provided by the Eitz Hadat Tov V'Ra, and the curse that the woman has is so we have over here this sadness being described, which really is actually more connected to the sadness that we find in terms of Pasuk Yud Zayin to Adam. Ul Adam amar ki shamati l'kol ishtecha b'tchol min ha'etz, and so on. Ora ha'adama, and that's what we just now read, how the earth is cursed. Ba'avarecha b'itzavon tochlen kol yimei chayecha. So over here that we have this itzavon because the earth is cursed. So apparently what Lemech is trying to do is to turn the tide, turn it around, and stop the reality which exists, which means there's perhaps not necessarily a recognition or an admission of guilt, unless you say mima'asenu, but rather it is the ramifications of the guilt, and that is the curse is still about, and we need to stop this curse. This curse needs to come to an end. This needs to stop already. Now, why of all the people that have been born till this time, why is it that Lemech names his son this, is what I want to answer before we finish today. So I gave you this possibility that's a prayer. I gave you this possibility that was clairvoyance, prophecy. There may be another possibility, which we will come back to. But nonetheless, he wants to turn the tide. And the only tide that gets turned is when God inverts Noach's name, V'noach matzachein b'nei Hashem, which means, no, the curse is not going to end. People are going to end. It's the problem is people, and people are the ones who are sinning, and the people are the ones who are evil. And you now realize that Pasuk Vav and Perek Vav in Source 1, the Vayinachem Hashem ki yisa'at ha'adam ba'aretz v'yetzat tseve libo, is a response to Lemech naming Noach and saying, you know, how this is going to turn things around. And God says, no, we're not going to turn it around. We're going to start all over again. We're going to wipe things out. So you realize now that there is an action and a response to that action, but it was not necessarily the response that we were perhaps hoping for. Which then leads me back to another character who probably does not get enough attention because for a couple of reasons. One is that in last week's parsha, we had Adam and we had Chava and we had Cain and we had Hevel, so we were busy with all of them. And then in this week's parsha, we have Noach and everything which will happen there. So we sort of ignore somebody else. And let's look in the back of the beginning now of source number 2 in Parakeh. We have a man named Yered. We're told V'yichi Yered Shtayim V'shishim Shana U'ma'at Shana V'yolid Et Chanoch. He has a son named Chanoch. V'yichi Yered Achrei Lidu Et Chanoch Shmona Me'at Shana V'yolid Banim U'Banot. And that's almost, it's a tune. If you go person after person after person, we're told the same thing. V'yukol Yimei Yered Shtayim V'shishim Shana U'cham Me'at Shana V'yamot. And everybody along this way over here, it was the same thing. He lived this many years, he had this child, he lived this many years afterwards, and he died. Which follows the same kind of script. But then we have the deviation in Pasukov Bet. So here we have somebody, and this is intriguing. He walks with God. So he walked with God afterwards for 300 years. So that Vitalech is very strange. Which is a very nice round number. 365 may be a number which some of us are familiar with. And we then have again, so the second time we're told that he walks with God. And then we have a very mysterious word. And he isn't. For God took him. And that we have no idea what to do with. Because, again, it deviates from the way that all these other people were described. As we look at the next one, V'yichimitu shelach, sheva u'shmonim shana ma'at shana, v'yiledet lemech, v'yichimitu shelach achrei ludet lemech, shtayim u'shmonim shana, sheva ma'ot shana, v'yilu banim u'vanot, v'yukol yimitu shelach, tisha v'shishim shana, tisha ma'ot shana, v'yamot. And everyone else is v'yamot. And over here, again, you can look at that in Pasuk Lamed Aleph regarding Lemach. He lived 600 years after his child, v'yamot. So everybody dies, except for one person, and that is Chanoch. And again, we don't know what to do with this. When we look at source number 5, four is the Targum Yonatan, 5 is Targum Yonatan in Hebrew, where it said that he walked, V'itelech Chanoch et Elokim, he walks with God. So the Targum writes, Upalach, which means to serve, Chanoch bikushta, with truth, Kadam Hashem. Vayavod Chanoch be'emet lefnei Hashem. He was a true servant of God. He served God. Which means that he walks with God. He's saying he's different from everyone else. I just want to note, Vayitaleh Chanoch et Elokim, that the name of God over here is Elokim. We're going to actually find somebody a little later on who we're going to be told a very similar thing about, and of course that is in this week's parsha, and that is Noach. Regarding Noach, we're told that et Elokim hitalech Noach. Noach, also we're told, is somebody who walks with God. The other one that we're going to be told walks with God is going to be, or he'll be encouraged to, that will be Avraham. But by Avraham, it's Vahashem Amar El Avraham. This is in Perek Yud Gimel, Kum hitalech ba'aretz. So we have both Chanoch and Noach walking with Elokim, while Hashem tells Avraham, Kum hitalech ba'aretz. The question, of course, is what does it mean to walk with God? And we have at least a partial answer, or one answer, from the Targum Yonatan by telling us that this was a servant of God. The Yerushalmi, the Targum Yerushalmi in Source 6, right? So Palach Hanoch Bekushta Ketum Hashem, which again is the same. But then afterwards, Ve'enenu, he writes, V'leit Yadeya Anhu. And we have no idea what happened to him. Which means Ve'enenu is poof, he disappeared. You look, where, what happened to Hanoch? And what he's actually telling us is that, or what he's noting in this Targum, there are many Targumim, by the way. In this Targum, what it's noting is that Hanoch has indeed disappeared, and his death is not, or his disappearance is not the same as all the others that it stresses and it says Vayamot. Actually, in the Targum, Yonatan gave us a little bit more information, which perhaps is interesting to us. And we'll read it in source number 5, the continuation of the Keter Yonatan. V'ne'enenu im toshvei ha'aretz. He no longer is among those who live on this earth. Kinel kach, for he was taken. V'ala l'rakia, and he went up into heaven. B'mamar lefnei Hashem, by the word of God. V'yikreshmo, and God changed his name and called him Mitatron ha'sofer ha'gadol. He calls him Mitatron, the great scribe. What does it mean he's the great scribe? Those of us who remember the Gemara in Chagiga, or those of us who have been reading my book and got up to that section, will know that Mitatron is the one whose job is to write down all the good deeds of Israel. He's the Sofer HaGadol. Moshe Rabbeinu is only the Sofer HaKatan. We're told that when Elisha ben Avuya goes up into heaven during the Paradise experience, is that he sees Mitatron writing down all the good deeds of Israel, and instead of that bringing him confirmation of the truth that God really does micromanage and pays attention to all of actions, somehow it led him to some kind of a belief in duality. So over here we see that the Targum Yonatan tells us that this is what happened. He becomes Mitatron, which actually means that therefore he becomes an angel, which is something which we're more familiar with a different character, namely Eliyahu. But that's what it says. Incidentally, we're going to see another comment where it's clear to me that he also had the Arba Nichlasu of Paradis in his mind, and that is source number 7, the Nitziv in Ha'amek Davar. V'etelech Hanoch, pam echad, haya mitboded. Mitboded means that he was all alone, and he was meditating. Umashkia atzmo, bavat Hashem, and he was so involved in thoughts of love of God, ad shegia la'alot harakia, until he goes up into heaven. Which of those of us, again, if you've read my book and read Rashi's description of what happened to Ben Azai, that's precisely what the Emek Davar is telling us, what happened to Hanoch. And of course, there's another backdrop to all of this, which we may not necessarily get when we read it right away, and that is that Hanoch relatively dies very young. Somebody who dies 365 does not seem to be a spring chicken to us, but again, according to Rashi there, Ben Azai dies very young, and relatively we'll see that Hanoch also dies very, very young, because all the other people lived far, far longer than him, so he was a very young person and he died. Of course, the difference is that he does bring a child into the world. The Sforno, in source number 8, will tell us that Hanoch walks with God, hit'alech bidrachav, which means he walks with God? He follows God's lead in terms of morality. There's a fancy word in Latin for this, which some of you perhaps know. Hitalech bidrachav. But what does it mean? Lehitiv lezulato bitzdaka betochachot. That he helps the others, he's interacting with others by doing proactive deeds, charitable deeds, and he also rebukes people. I will point out that we will soon be told by this Sforno, which I did not include over here, but he says the exact same thing later on when he gets to Noach. Ve'et Elokim et Alech Noach, he'll tell us the same kind of description that Noach. He'll say that Etelchim Tatalech Noach halach bidrachav lehitiv lezulato v'hochiach bnei daro kidivir abotein zuchon levracha. Just like our rabbis have said, which means essentially, we actually have a question, because what we're told by the Sforno is the fact that Noach walked with God and the fact that Hanoch walked with God, which means essentially we have mirrored characters over here. They're both the same. which means if they're both the same, so then why was all the hope and so on placed upon the shoulders of Noah? Or for that matter, why didn't the flood come during the time of Hanoch? Which means if they're interchangeable characters, we just don't necessarily understand the story, because it sounds like everyone is bad, everybody's doing terrible things, and everybody leads lives which are immoral lives, but then we're told there's a Hanoch in the middle, and as I said, he sort of gets skipped over. Rashi, when he tells us about Hanoch, v'itelech Hanoch, tzadikaya, he was righteous. But then he adds something, because, as I said, he couldn't be perfect. Because if he was perfect, then we have all the questions I just now posed. So Rashi solves all of our questions. V'kal bida'ato. But he was not a deep thinker. L'shuv l'harshia. Which means that even though he was a tzaddik, there was no guarantee that he would remain this way. Which means he's saying that there was always this problem that perhaps Hanoch would revert back to the behavior of the rest of the generation. And therefore, if you note, the Sforno and Rashi are really saying opposite things, because the Sforno is saying is how wonderful he is, and how helpful he is, and how charitable he is, and he gives tochacha, and he rebukes his generation, and yet Rashi says, no, he was a righteous person, but doesn't define the righteousness. I also want to stress another thing. The name of God, which I mentioned before, in terms of Yitalech Hanoch et Elokim, Elokim is Midat Hadin, which would seem to me, and the same thing with Noach, that et Elokim et Elech Noach, which means if I had to give an opinion on what their tzidkut was about, and the tzidkut, of course, is only mentioned by Noach, Noach ish tzadik, right? Et Elokim et Elech Noach. So what was his tzidkut, I would say? Noach's, the definition of his tzidkut, right? Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bedaratav, et Elokim et Elech Noach. So what made him a tzadik is that he walked with God. But what does it mean, walking with God? That's Midat Hadin. So what does that mean? It means that he never did anything wrong. It doesn't mean he did anything right, which is why I do want to stress this interpretation of the Sforno is therefore quite interesting, because we're not necessarily told that he did good deeds, he did positive things, he somehow impacted people in a good way. All that we're told, et Elokim et Elech Noach, which would mean is he didn't do bad. Not doing bad is not exactly the same as doing good. And it's actually one of the things which is picked up in the Midrashim and picked up in the Zohar, where Noach is attacked for the lack of good that he did. So it's very interesting that the Sforno heads off that attack, and the Sforno would prefer to say, no, not only was Noach proactive good, doing charitable things, giving tochecha, which is something, rebuke, which we don't see at all in the text, the same thing we can all assume back to Hanoch, but he's working off of the same phrase, which is walking with Elokim. And that's what I have to say it again. What does it mean to walk with Midat Hadin? That sounds to me much more of a Sur Meira, but it doesn't necessarily, to me at least, indicate an Ase Tov. Sur Meira meaning stay away from bad, but it doesn't necessarily tell me that there was Ase Tov, that there was proactive good that was being done by either one of them, which of course would add to possible condemnations that we could have against them. Although I know people get upset when I pick on Noach too much, so I'll try to control myself. Rashi tells us, he continues in source 9, Lefichach, because he was so unstable, let's read it again from the beginning, V'etelech Hanoch tzadikaya, V'kal bedato l'shuv l'arshia, and he was very unstable, and it would have been easier him to go back to sin, Lefichach miher HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'silko, and therefore God hurried up to get him out, take him out of the game. V'heimitu kodem zmano, and he died earlier than his time, that even though you would think, wow, 365 years, that's pretty good, that's pretty long. No, God killed him while he was young. Why? Because if he lived another day, another year, another decade, maybe he would have sinned, and therefore God preferred to take him at this point. V'zeh sheshina katuv mitav luchto ve'einenu ba'olam l'malot shnotav. And that's when it says he isn't, which we saw before, that Targum Yerushalmi, that he's disappeared. We don't know where he is. You know, Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. What it means is that he didn't complete his days like all the other people. Kilakachoto lefnei zmano, before his days. And he uses other times the word lakach could be understood in this way. There's a midrash which I have here in source 14, which probably backs this up. V'italech Hanoch et Elokim ve'einenu kilakach oto Elokim. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Hoshea, eino nichtav betoch timoson shel tzadikin, ela betoch timoson shel rishaim. Amar Rav Avu Chanoch Chanef haya, pa'amim tzadik, pa'amim rasha. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Ad Shehu B'Tzidko Aselkenu, which is a little harsher than the way that Rashi described it. Rashi said that he was a tzaddik, but he may go over to the other side. The Midrash actually said that he vacillated back and forth from his righteousness to his wickedness, and therefore when he hit this moment of righteousness, God took him. Again, I will give another plug for my book. If you recall the chapter about Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, I claim the same thing, that God took him at that moment while he was actually good, but had he continued to live, it would have been quite challenging and quite difficult for him. If we continue in the Ibn Ezra, Gen on Chanoch, source number 10, Ve'enenu, so he says, okay, don't get confused. We'll see why he's going to say this in a moment. Don't get confused. Meant. What does he mean, lakachato? He died, which is really what Rashi had said, and he's quoted the same verse as Rashi, v'chen kach na nafshi, by Yonah. Sorry, that's the one that Rashi quoted. V'achar kach piresh mahaya v'tamat ishto, sorry, v'zota likichal chanoch, ein sham zecher magefa, v'lo vayamat. He's saying he took him, he died, but there's still nonetheless something different about his death. And that's, I want you to remember this line. This is very important. Because what he's saying is, lakachoto, so let's continue then. What I said to you, the last thing was, I wanted you to remember this part of the Ibn Ezra. Because what the Ibn Ezra says here is, Vizota lekicha al chanoch, en shem zechem agifa v'lo v'yamat. So he's saying something which is intriguing, but we don't know exactly what to do with it. Because he's the one who's stressed. V'enenu ki lakachoto alokim. Why is he not here? Because God took him. So, on the other hand, and that means death, met. On the other hand, he's saying, yeah, but pay attention, because even though it says that he died, it didn't say any magefa, and it doesn't say vayomat. So what's different about this from every other time? And the Ibn Ezra, who loves being difficult, does not explain this to us properly. And he gives us an example, and at the very, if all those examples help, wonderful, but at the very end he says those two frightening words, v'hamaskil yavin, which means if you got it, you got it, but if you didn't, you didn't. So that, of course, is somewhat troubling to us. So we don't know, again, exactly what to do with it. And Ibn Ezra in 11 says something which I think we've already heard. He goes, everyone else lived 900 years, and that's why it doesn't say he died. And it should be v'shishim b'chameish shana. So he lives less. So now there's a problem here. Ibn Ezra doesn't want to tell us what the problem is, and let's nonetheless take a look, a couple more sources, and then we're going to try to make more sense of this. The Rabag in source 12, hinei sipur al chanoch shalach b'derkei Hashem. Again, he walks with God. Yit alach ha'sholid et Yit Allah, he went up. Which I think we can argue with if you look at the verses carefully. Again, he's pointing out about this wishy-washiness about him. But he served God 300 years, which means not the entire 365 years. So God returned his soul to Gan Eden. And we'll skip a little. Now that's already was hinted at to us in that Targum that we saw. Why doesn't it say he died? Because he didn't die. Rather, what happened to him? He went back to Gan Eden. Which is really fascinating. Because what he's really hinting at, one second, so it can't say he died because he didn't die like everybody else. But why can't it say he died? Because he didn't die. That is the position that the Ralbag takes. He doesn't die. Before I explain this, let me just read a little bit more of the Radak. V'data targum gam k'tzat chachamim. Ki Chanoch ve'Eliyahu hichnisam hakel chayim began edim benefesh ubasar va'odam shem chayim ochlim mipri ha'etz va'ovdim et Hashem kamo shehaya adam arishon kodem shechata v'yasham ad yemot ha'mashiach. Now that is absolutely fascinating, because what the Radak, and I'll put the Radak and the Ralbag together, what they're telling us is that death is in the world when Adam sinned. And therefore there's this curse of Adam. And the curse of Adam causes the earth to be cursed, and curses man to be cursed, and causes death to be. But what if somebody walks with God? What if somebody is undeserving of such punishment? What if somebody is a wonderful individual? So such a person should not die. Not only that, such a person never should have been expelled from the Garden of Eden. Rather, such a person should be able to return to the Garden of Eden, just like Adam before the Chet. And it's saying in a physical sense, because he never died. So I'll say it again. That, to my mind, is absolutely fascinating, because what it's telling us is that he didn't die like everyone else did. He's different. He's righteous, which of course raises other questions. But I want to look at one or two more sources, and then hopefully things will make more sense. Let's take a look. We really want to get to, let's see, we want to go a little bit further till we get down to the Rashbam, but if we have a couple of minutes, we'll look at some of the others first. The Bechor Shor said that he walks with God, and it doesn't say he died, because else you'll think he was like everybody else. Again, he said Shechasid Gamor Haya. He doesn't go with this halfway. No, he was a chassid. And it doesn't say he died, because he's not like everybody else. Which means everybody over here is trying to figure out what is there about Chanoch. And as I said, we'll see soon, and I hope it will be very, very clear. On the other hand, I raise the question, what makes him different from Noach? Which means, essentially, why is there a life of Noach about Noach and not about Chanoch? And as we get a little bit closer, we're going to come to this realization that there is something about Noach and Chanoch which is unique, but it's based on something which I haven't gotten to and we haven't seen and I suspect we haven't thought of. Rashi in Source 17 moves back to Noach. What is Noach Zeichan Menu? Ad Shiloba Noach Loyalem Kle Machresha. What was the pain of their hands? Because they didn't have proper tools. V'huichin, and he made the tools. So you realize that Rashi is doing this to help explain the verse, and he later on admits v'im lo tifrashehu in the last line, kach ein tam lashon. It says, I don't know really what to do with it. So it has to really be that this is the case. The Toldot Yitzchak, it's the uncle of Yosef Karo, of Yitzchak Karo. He is again explaining again why Noach is different. V'yesh mafarshim shenichlal b'zeh gam kin sheyad'u me adam ki navi haya sha'al yado yesha'irit ba'aretz achar mabul. So again, why was he named with this hope? No, he's a prophet. So it's fascinating, because now he turns Noach's father into a prophet. The Bechor Shor also talking about this is the one who's going to give us help, and this is the one who's going to change the world. Again, why now? Why about Noach are they saying this? And it's also interesting, why don't they say about Chanoch? V'zeya nechama shebiyamav kalazar oshel Kayin. In his days, the side of the evil of Kayin, of the Kayin line, will be wiped out. Kala adama b'avoro, which is interesting that he sort of just now switched from the curse of being the curse of Adam to Kayin, and the Vilna Gaon goes in the same direction in source number 20. 21, the Chizkuni also, this one, Noach, is going to bring us comfort. Min adama shreinemar la'adam ara adama b'vracha, because it talks about Adam, and again, regarding Adam, the earth was cursed. The first hint we're going to have now to solve everything is going to be in the Hadar Zakenim, and then we'll see the Rashbam who will say it clearer. Zei nachamenu, this one, Noach, is going to bring us comfort. Hayal l'kro menachem, which is part of what was bothering Rashi. El lashon nofel lashon yinachmenu yinach mimenu. V'imtomer mai v'ha amrina navi gadol haya lemech shekara b'no Noach. And he says, no, it must be that he was a great prophet. Then he says, yesh lomar. Ra'asha hayilu pisuk etzpaot. This is something that a number of the commentaries say, that he was the first one who was born with fingers. And everyone else till then had, I don't know exactly how you call it, when all the webbed fingers. And he was the first one who had fingers, and he's the one who's going to bring comfort into the world. And then he brings in, that is going to be quoted later on from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. But then he brings Od Yesh Lomar. He throws in another thought. De b'sha'ash nolad meit Adam harishon. That when he was born, Adam had died. Now, before I say anything else about that, let's look at that in the Rashbam, because that's going to be clearer. Zeyinachamenu. This is the one who's going to bring us comfort. Shezeh, where it's bold, Shezeh hayarishon lenoladim achar mitat Adam. He was the first person who was born after Adam died. Ulakach karu Noach, and therefore they called him Noach. Sha'amar yihi ratzon sheyet ken ze ivuto shel ze v'lashon tfila. Who? Yidachmenu. Which means, hold it. The world has changed. The Riva also from the Bali Atosfot brings the same idea. V'uya rishon shelon alad achar shemet Adam. Ulakacham amru alav ze nachmenu. So, let's take a look now and understand what in the world they're telling us. Now, in order to do this, I started to work very, very hard, and I started to go through every single person who was born and look at the dates, when they're born, how long they were born, lived until they had children, and so on. And then I remembered I had a book at home, and I opened up the book, and the book is called The Sequence of Events in the Old Testament. And what's interesting about this book is that it was, first of all, it was written by somebody who was stuck in Siberia for years, and he wrote A Sequence of Events. This is a translation to English, but when I started doing this, and then I remembered I had this, and he made my life very, very easy. Look what he does. He noted on the left side we have Adam, right? Adam, 130 years, then Shet, that's where Shet comes in, right afterwards, Seth, right afterwards on the right side. I hope you all see this. So Adam is 130 years, and then he lives another whole bunch of years, and he dies in the year 930. Now, the only thing which is not clear about this is that we also could have looked at Adam's earlier children, Cain and Hevel, which we are ignoring, and we didn't know exactly how old he was then. But then we'll note something, and you can only see this when you see the visual. Afterwards, we have, it's almost like steps. 105 years is how long Shet lives till he has his child, Enosh, and then he lives a whole bunch of years. And you see Adam dying at 930, and you see Shet dying at 912. So again, these are parallel, more or less. Enosh living 90 years, having a child, and then again dying 905. Kenan, 70 years and dying at 910. Mahalel, 65 years, and then he dies at 895. Yared, 162 years, dying at 962, and then we get to Chanoch. Okay, so we'll look at Chanoch for a second. 65 years, dies at 365, and that's Ve'inenu. He's gone. Why? His death is sudden. Why is death so sudden? Well, look how young he dies compared to everybody else. Not only that, when he dies, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations we'll have to look about Adam. Sorry, when he's born with a father, grandfather, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Everyone's alive, okay? The first recorded death is going to be, not including Cain and Hevel, that going this line, the first death is in the year 930, Adam's death. When Adam dies, he at that point has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? Born Lemech, born 874. Eight generations are over here, and at that point he dies. Who's the first person who's born afterwards? Noach. Noach is born after Adam dies. So what did we just now read? What did the Rashbam say? And again, the various Balei Tosfot. What did they say? Now Adam is dead. The world was cursed because of Adam. The earth was cursed because of Adam. So now, once Adam is dead, there's a new beginning. There's no need for curses anymore. There's no need for punishment anymore. And therefore, the response of Lemech when he names Noach, and again, when you look at the chart, you see this very, very clearly. Take a look at this and you say, here's the first child born, which is also interesting. He could have named his child after Adam, but Adam is not a character they wanted to name the child after. Why not? Well, you can figure that out. They see him as he's destroyed the world. He's the one who's made this place such a terrible place. Because of him, there's a curse over here. So now we can understand the name that Lemech gives to Noach. Again, that, I think the Reishbam is saying it clearly. Let that wicked, evil, terrible cycle be broken. And now there is new hope. Now everything which is bad has changed. So let's go back to Chanoch. What do we know now? What did we told about Chanoch? He was taken. Well, and what did it say about him? It didn't say that he died. So some of the commentaries, as we saw, say, well, it must be he went back to Garden of Eden. But remember we saw that comment of the Ibn Ezra? It says that he was the first one to die. There was no plague and there was no more. He says he died naturally. He died. And therefore, his dying naturally could be understood. And the people are there are shocked. Because again, it's one thing that Adam dies. Because Adam deserved to die. Adam brought death into the world. But they were living under an illusion. What happens when you live for 900 years, 912 years, which means everybody lives this enormous amount of time. And it could be that once he's dead, and by the way, there's a beautiful midrash I didn't bring to you. The beautiful midrash says that Chanoch is alive when Adam dies, and he's the one who buries him. That was the good deed that he did. He took responsibility. And I'm just going to read into it now, because everyone else sees Adam as being evil. So once Adam dies, now it's over. The curse is over. Now we can all live together. Now we're going to be like the Garden of Eden. And then something happens. Somebody dies. And that's shocking. And now, if you just take a look at when this happens, it's almost, you know, I don't want to say immediately, but when you deal with hundreds of years, you have in the year 930, you have Adam dying. In the year 987, you have Chanoch dying. And that's why he walked with God. He does good things. He even takes care of Adam. And everyone else is looking at this and saying, you know, what just now happened? Because they're under the illusion that people can live forever. Now, something else happens here. Let's take a look at Noach for a second. Noah, everyone else has their child, as it were, 130, 105, 90, 70, 65, 162, 65, 187, 182. Noach does not have a child till he's 500 years old. That's interesting. To me, it would indicate some kind of ambiguity. Or some kind of ambivalence, I guess is a better word. Some kind of ambivalence. Do I really want to bring children to this world? Noach is different from everybody else. The flood, you'll also note that he's born, that by the time he has children in the year 500, something else has now happened. Which means when Noach is born, again, there's one, two, not Chanoch, but there's one, two, three. There's a whole bunch of other generations that are all alive. And now something happens. Again, Chanoch indeed dies, and then Shet, and Enosh, and Canaan, and Mahalel, and Yared, and all these people die. All these people are gone, and Noach has still not... Now there's death in the world again. Now the world suddenly has gone in this whole other direction. And at the year 500, he has his children. 600 is when he gets on the ark. In between the 500 to 600 is when his father dies. And right, and according to Rashi, 1 week before he gets onto the ark, he already started building it. He's building it for 120 years, which means he's building the ark. His father is alive and his grandfather's still alive. Just again, just take a look at the years. And he's building it for 120 years. And as he's building, then something happens. His father dies, his grandfather dies, and now there's nobody left. That by the time he gets on the ark, I'm not saying there's nobody left in terms of contemporaries and all kinds of other people, but in terms of his father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, nobody's left. And now there's just Noach and his children. But that situation of suddenly having no ancestors, no one else ever had that before. Everybody else who lives prior to Noach has lots and lots and lots and lots of ancestors going back. And now suddenly we realize a completely different world was upon us, which means essentially what, I mean, that's the reason I also kept this and I put this up for you to see this. And you can draw all kinds of conclusions you want, but yes, Chanoch and Noach are different from everybody else. Chanoch, in a sense, dies before all of his ancestors, and Noach lives with no ancestors. These people are different from everybody else who's lived till those points, and they, as I said, you can take those wonderful midrashim that Chanoch is alive and becomes a malach, and he somehow moves and he goes up into heaven or wherever it else that he goes. But what's interesting, nonetheless, is that Chanoch and Noach are different. That was the main point that I wanted to get to today. They're different. But their difference is also very, very different. Chanoch dies, and that must have been a shock, because only one person died till this point. Again, not including Cain and Hevel. One person had died, and that person was Adam. And what happens as soon as he dies? Noach is born. And how do they look at this? Now there's a new chance. Now there's life. Now we can hope. Now no one's going to die anymore. Oh, except for a problem. Chanoch dies. And what else is going to be the problem? Everybody else dies. Now, the question is, what is going to happen to generations upon generations of people who survive living for 900 years? I just want to think about that for a second, and then we're going to wrap up. You know, we have a phenomenon which is called being a teenager. Although years ago I read an article about how being a teenager was different in the 1940s and 50s than it was, or for that matter, all ages are different, behavior is different. Actually, the article claimed that child labor laws in the United States created teenage years. Beforehand, either you're a child or you're an adult. Either you had responsibilities or you didn't. People very young got married, people very young got jobs, and people very young faced realities. It was only the child labor laws that created a whole bunch of years that you're not allowed to work, but on the other hand, you can get into all kinds of difficulties and troubles that an adult can get into. But what is a teenager? Somebody who's sort of like an adult, but they don't take the responsibility. Why? Well, that's real interesting. One of the things about being a teenager is that this feeling of invincibility, this feeling that you're going to live forever. Now, what would happen to people that really felt they're going to live forever? Well, I mean, what would happen in terms of the morality? And yes, I understand some of you are going to tell me, no, the big issue is the development of the frontal lobe. Okay, fine. Now let's go back to somebody who's going to live for 100 years and 200 years and 500 years and 800 years and 900 years. Can you imagine his mother telling him at the age of 300, you know, you really have to finish college. And he'll say, no, I got time. You know, I have time. You know, let me live a little bit first. Which means my point is, when we go back and we think about that comment in the Midrash about Rav Meir on the Tov Ma'od, he said Tov Mavet. Because it's the fact that we know that there's an end of the road that forces us to live with a sense that we need to accomplish things in this world. What happens when you don't have that sense? What happens when you live in this illusion that death is really never going to affect us? Now, again, think a second. Think of all those hundreds of years that went by till the year 930, where 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 generations are born, maybe even 8 by then, and nobody died. And Adam is saying, no, people are going to die, but nobody dies. Well, people are going to die. Then Adam dies. Okay, he's going to die. We're not going to die. We're going to live forever. We eat natural food. There's no preservatives. There's no climate change or whatever. I mean, everything is wonderful in our lives. So if you just think about how they're leading their lives, it's almost that their lives themselves are conducive to the misbehavior which we then learn about. I don't have to behave. I don't have to accomplish. I can do whatever I want. And it's interesting. And then Adam dies. And then the sense is, okay, maybe he deserved to die. But then Chanoch dies. And Chanoch dies naturally. And at this point, people, again, don't know what to do because he dies really, really young. And then in Noach's life, there is an enormous amount of death. Now, if I would have started the shiur and said, in Noah's life, there's an enormous amount of death, you all would have said to me, of course there's an enormous amount of death because of the flood. All these people die. And what I'm pointing out is, it's not just because people died by the flood. Noah's life is one where there's an enormous amount of death. And death has changed from being this theoretical curse upon man to becoming a reality, which now is going. And again, everyone else till a certain point had generations upon ancestors and generations on descendants, and everybody lived. And now finally we get to this point that everybody dies. And that's the world that Noah comes into. And when he's named, they believe that he's the first one. Adam has died, the curse is over, and now we're going to live forever. And then one after the other, after the other, after the other dies. And that's the world that Noah looks at. And it's fascinating when he comes to this realization, his father and grandfather are still alive when God says, build a teva. Everyone's going to die now. We're getting rid of everything. We're getting rid of everyone. And just think about what Noah is processing. But he then is there as one after the other die, finally his father, and then ultimately right before his grandfather, and now he knows everybody's going to die. And with that, he gets onto the boat. So I hope I have not depressed you again. I don't know, I always seem to do this. So everybody have a good Shabbos, everybody feel good, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you next week.